Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Carnita Smith with my co-host, Carla Kennard. And I just want to thank you as well as my co-host. We just want to thank you for being a faithful listener to Mission from the Heart Radio. And we just want to thank you again for being faithful to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For those of you who are believers in Christ Jesus, who confessed your faith to others that you are a Christ follower, you are our brothers and sisters in Christ. And hallelujah and praise the Lord to the Most High God. And we are just so faithful to Him and just being a part of the body, the church, called to do great things in a world of chaos. And I just welcome you again to this broadcast, Mission from the Heart Radio. And so what I would like to do before we get into our lesson today, I would love for my co-host Carla Kennard to introduce herself and just open up the broadcast with prayer. But if we could just pray first, and then, Carla, I would love for you to introduce yourself briefly, and we're just going to get right into the lesson. So, sister, if you could go ahead and open up the broadcast with a prayer of blessing.
Hello, my name is Carla Kennard, and I'm so happy to be a part of the Heart to Heart Mission. Father God, let's start out with prayer. Father God, we praise you. We thank you for this opportunity to come together today, giving you glory, praise, and all the honor. Father God, we ask that you use us today. Father God, we lift up this nation. We lift up this our country. We lift up our communities. We lift up our neighborhoods, Father God. We just thank you for using us tonight. Let your word be spread and bless us to spread your word in a way that we may touch others' hearts, Father God. Give us the utterance of the Holy Spirit. Let your word go out and touch us. Those who are listening tonight, that they may be a blessing to those that come across their path. We give you all the glory, all the praise, and all the honor. And Holy Spirit, you're welcome in this place. Come on in and stay and dwell richly. Holy God Almighty, Christ Jesus, you are so welcome as well. Use us, Father God. And we give you all the glory and all the praise and all the honor. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. That was a beautiful blessing to lift up to the Lord God as a sweet aroma to his nostrils, sister. So thank you. And so now my guest today, we have been friends for such a long time, and I'm so forever grateful for Carla Kennard to be in studio with me on the broadcast. And I tell you, I just really, really admire her from in the way that she takes prayer very, very seriously. From the day that we came back into each other's lives, I noticed that her prayer life was very, very serious and intimate. And whenever a situation popped up in our lives or maybe our children's lives or a circumstance, she always stopped, dropped, and prayed. She never, ever went without stop, dropping, and praying. And she just has a beautiful lifestyle in doing such, in doing so. And I admire her mother, too. So I guess she is definitely a seed that fell from a beautiful tree in her mother, because her mother also has this beautiful gift of prayer that she takes serious as well. And when I noticed that in the both of them, oh my goodness, it just blessed me so richly, because I know that I can always come to her with a situation or a circumstance, and I know that she would take it to the Lord in prayer. So, Carla, if you could just give us a little bit about yourself, maybe where your church, where you fellowship. Here in the city of Houston, Texas. And if you can let those who are listening know where you fellowship and why is prayer so important to you?
I fellowship at the church at Bethel's Family with Pastor Walter August. I've been there for a number of years. Prayer is very, very important as a believer, because the main thing about prayer, it will get God's attention. It's a conversation with him. It's an intimate relationship that you develop with God as being a believer, and it definitely changes things. And he said for us to come to him, whatever we ask for in his name, in prayer, that he will meet that need. It doesn't matter what it is, who it is, and it also doesn't matter where you are or what you're doing at that particular time. He's always listening. He always has his ears open to us because he loves us so much that he gave his only son. So I try to keep that in mind every time that I think about God. I think about him not just for things that I need, but just to think about having that deep, intimate relationship with him. I try to spend as much time as I can talking to him just on a regular basis, as well as in prayer for myself, for my husband, for my kids, and for others, even though that I don't know what their prayer needs might be, but we ought to also pray for others. So I take it very seriously, and I diligently try to do it as often as I possibly can.
Amen.
And I thank
and
God
that
for
is...
that opportunity. And I want to thank my sister, Carnita Smith. She's been a delight to my spirit as well. Since we've come back together, I love being a part of the Heart to Heart ministry. I love listening to her spread the word. I love our fellowship together as sisters in Christ. And I love being able to be used by the Lord in the Heart to Heart ministry as well as in my everyday life. So I thank her for this opportunity, and may God always add a blessing to your life.
Amen. Thank you, sister. I love you, too. And I tell you, I just enjoy co-laboring with our brothers and sisters in Christ, no matter how
Hallelujah.
Big or small, no matter how big or small the work is. Scripture
Yes.
calls us to, let's look at, if you will, get your Bibles ready, and we're just going to move through some scriptures as we look at how the scriptures and what the scriptures prepare our hearts to do, just as Sister Carla had indicated. It's a way of life for her, and she does this as a natural thing. It's nothing that has to be structured. It just flows from within her. And this is where God wants the children of God. He wants the body of Christ, the church. He wants us to prepare and exercise ourselves just as she has done with herself. And we want this to be a regular movement within inside of us so that the prayers, the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. Correct, Carla?
So right. So true. So true.
So let's look at
Luke.
We're going to turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 10, and we're going to look at verse 2. Luke chapter 10, and we're going to look at verse 2. And if you have that particular scripture in front of you, this is what we are to prepare ourselves to do. Luke 10, verse 2, and it reads this way. The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. And Carla, as we look at that scripture, several things pop out of that scripture concerning laborers.
Amen.
And harvest.
Yes.
So as you see, and I hope you see with what I see, but pray that the Holy Spirit will reveal to you as we move through the scriptures, pray that the Holy Spirit would reveal these sweet nuggets, the richness of his word from these passages that we're going to read in this lesson. Now, the lesson of today is, Lord, hear our cry. And I tell you, God wants to hear our cry.
Amen.
And that's not Jesus running down our face. It's the crying out to him in prayer. So,
amen.
If we look at this particular verse in Luke,
amen,
10 in verse 2, mm-hmm, and it really spells out what the church or the body of Christ should be doing. And let me reread this for the benefit of extracting out those nuggets that really, really stood out to me. And I'm going to reread it in the NIV translation.
Okay.
He told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Then verse 3 says, go. And in my translation, it has an exclamation point.
Mm-hmm.
That's a command. Go. I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. So we already know when a lamb is sent out in the midst of ferocious wolves, we know that they're going to get at least devoured when we look at it in this sinful world. Devoured. But he's commanding us. Jesus is sending us out like lambs among wolves. Do not take anything with us, a purse or a bag or sandals. And do not greet anyone on the road. So let's stop right there at verse 4. And there's some reasons for this. But my point is that in verse 2, he told them the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Who are the workers? We are the workers. The body
we
of Christ, the church. We are,
yes,
the workers, correct, Carla?
That is so true, very true.
Do you have a thought,
yes,
on this particular verse?
There, like I said earlier, there is no certain way you have to pray to God. And being a believer, that is one of the things that he requests of us, to do the work that he has labored for us to do. And we're to do it joyfully and cheerfully and not grudgingly. We are to be happy in what we're doing for the Lord. And whatever it is, we sometimes might shun it, and sometimes I'm sure a lot of us do, and sometimes we might rejoice in it. But it's still a work that we have to do in order for God to get his work done or his message out to us or out into the land.
Amen. And
amen.
With that being said, sister, you are exactly right in saying, because when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, just as you had indicated, we have a joy that should be stored within inside of us. And looking at this passage, he tells us we are to go, and it says the harvest is plentiful. Who's the harvest? The harvest is the lost. The harvest is the naked. The harvest is the poor. The harvest is those who are on their sickbed. The harvest is those who are in jail. And you come visited me. You saw me in the hospital room when I was sick. You laid hands on me. You prayed for me. Amen. And you fed me when I was hungry. You clothed me when I was naked or I had lack of. You visited in the nursing home. You the homeless that are sitting. So the prayer of the righteous, fervent prayer of the righteous, it avails much because the harvest is plenty. There is so much work for the church, the body of Christ, the children of God to do. And our first point in this lesson is the need for prayer.
Amen. So true.
The second point in this lesson, Lord, hear our cry, is the seed through prayer.
Amen.
And the third point of this particular lesson is the harvest of prayer.
Yes.
So if you would write these down for your private study time or when you go back and re-listen to this broadcast on demand, any time of the day, all days of the week or the year, the first point is the need for prayer. The second point is the seed through prayer. And make note of the third point being the harvest of prayer. And so we're going to look at these through scripture, and we've just looked at the first scripture in the text, in the book of Luke, and of course it states that the need for prayer is in verse 2. And we looked at that, we said the harvest is plentiful, in scripture it reads, but the workers are few. Why are we so few?
It could be
because the believers or the church, the body of Christ, keep in mind, not the structure, but the body of Christ who are witnesses, are somewhat lazy in the work that needs to be done. Cowered back could be the possibility. But when we pray fervently, if we are not physically able, we are able to pray in spirit and in truth.
You know, Moses was called, he didn't think that he was capable of doing what the Lord called him to do. He shunned it. He was like, are you sure that you want me, Heavenly Father? And the Lord doesn't make a mistake. He was like, yes, I know who I pick. I pick you, Moses. And, you know, he wasn't really up for the fight or up for his duty, but he did heed that call, thank God. And he went on and brought the people out of Egypt.
Amen.
That's a fine example of a laborer who wasn't sure of what the Lord wanted him to do, and he shunned it, you know, as well as Jonah for Nineveh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, he didn't want to do his job as well. He ran for a long time, but the Lord never stopped seeking him. And sometimes we as believers do the same thing. You know, we shun it, but God will continue to love on you and continue to help you and guide you until you come to the place where he called you to be at that particular moment. Thank him for his blessing.
Amen. And that is so true. And those are very, very, very good, important points for us to remember, is looking at the character of Moses and the character of Jonah and how they both are similar in parallelism. They both shunned, as Carla had indicated. It shows how they weren't really willing to do with what God had called them to do for a great work. Not for themselves, but for the
great testimony that we have today, that we can see how God uses us, you know? It's a great testimony.
Amen.
Amen.
And that is what the church, the body of Christ, is called to do, is to be a witness. We are to be a witness in a chaotic world. When we are called to stand up and be a voice, we are not to cower back. When we are called to stand up and pray, we are to pray. And let's look at 2 Chronicles chapter 7. If you would turn to your Bible in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, and we're going to start at verse 12. And my co-host, Carla, I would love for you to read that passage, if you will. 2 Chronicles. Chapter 7.
12? Okay,
And we're
going
to start in verse 12. And if you could read that through verse 22.
12 through 22?
Yes.
Okay. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, starting at verse 12. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now my eyes shall be open and my ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. For now I have chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever, and my eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. And as for thee, if thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked, and do according to all that I have commanded thee, and shalt observe my statutes and my judgments, then I shall establish the throne of thy kingdom according as I have covenanted with David thy father, saying, there shall not fall thee a man to be ruler in Israel. But if ye turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I have set before you, and shall go and serve other gods and worship them, then I will pluck them up by their roots out of my land, which I have given them. And this house, which I have sanctified for my name, will I cast out of my sight, and will make it to be a proverb and a byword among all nations. And this house, which is high, shall be an astonishment to everyone that passes by it, so that he shall say, why hath the Lord done this unto this land and unto this house? And it shall be answered, because they forsook the Lord God of their father, which brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, and laid hold on other gods and worshipped them and served them. Therefore had he brought all this evil upon them.
Amen. And
that's pretty powerful.
Those verses in this particular text is very, very impactful. And I hope that it showed you, as you listen to the broadcast and make note of these verses, that God is a God who hears the need of the saints, of the children
Amen.
Of God, of the church. He indicated to them in this particular prayer. He told him in verse, the Lord said in verse 12, as Carla read, that I have heard your prayer.
Amen.
And the need went up as the body of Christ, or as the prophet in this particular passage, Solomon, concerning the temple, if you back up a few verses, but I wanted to spotlight in this passage, verse 12, the Lord said, I have heard your prayer.
Yes.
And have chosen this place for myself as a temple for sacrifices. But he heard the cry of one of his children. Mm-hmm. And when he hears our cry, then the need for prayer as the body of Christ starts to go up, collectively or independently. Yes, go right ahead, Carla.
Sister Smith, excuse me, I didn't mean it. You know, earlier this week I called you about praying for my aunt. She had two strokes, and they had to put her in an induced coma. Well, the Lord, we went into prayer. My mother and I, we went into fervent prayer, as well as her daughter and some other people. And the Lord heard our prayer. The very next day, she opened her eyes. She was able to respond to everyone by movement of her foot. She couldn't speak, but praise the Lord, today she's up, she's talking, her eyes are open, she's eating, and the Lord heard our prayer. And that's a great praise report. He heard our fervent prayers. And we were standing in agreement, as he says for us to do. When two or three agree on something, earth, he'll stand in the midst of us. He was in the midst of our prayer. And praise the Lord, she's doing well today.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
And that,
amen.
That, you know, and thank you for sharing that, sister, because that particular blessing that took place through your aunt, that blessing is our third point. So when we see, the third point is the harvest of prayer.
Amen.
So when we reap the benefits of the harvest, meaning of the prayer, then we're
uh-huh.
reaping that benefit. So the need for prayer, they went in, and they stopped, dropped, and prayed. And when they prayed as the body of Christ, two or three
yes.
gathered in my name. There he is in the midst. And then when the need of prayer went up, the seed through prayer came down. And then the harvest of the prayer changed things. It changed her old condition. It changed it from what it was to what it is now. She's walking. Talking. She shook her foot to show there is life inside.
Yes.
That's the harvest of prayer. And in sometimes within the calendar throughout the year, man has established a day called the National Day of Prayer. And that particular day of prayer is supposed to propel the believers, the church, to pray collectively or corporately. So that when the prayers go up corporately, nationally, worldwide, then the blessings will come down. But there's some things that need to take place with inside the body, and the body needs a little cleanup. And if we look at this particular point that we just talked about, the need of prayer, as Carla shared concerning her aunt, and as we looked in passage in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, we read those verses, and it said in verse 14, being the spotlight passage for this teaching lesson, Lord, hear our cry. 14, if we read that, if you would, Carla, reread 14 in 2 Chronicles chapter 7.
2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. And let's I'm going to reread that particular passage in the New Living Translation. And I love
okay.
to have different translations so that we can get a deep understanding and a deeper and a more simplistic understanding of what the Holy Spirit is trying to reveal to us. So listen to what it says in the New Living Translation in verse 14 in 2 Chronicles 7. And it reads this way, then if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. There's that word, pray, and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and will forgive them, forgive their sins and heal their land.
Yes.
And I just like that word where it humble themselves in this particular translation and pray. Again, the main word here is humble yourself. Turn from the wicked way of your thought, your word, and your deed, and then pray. So let's look at a prayer to where we can purify ourselves. So, Carla, if you want to talk about prayer that purifies us from the inside, and sometimes we call that, or it's looked at as fasting, and we can see that in the book of Esther, correct?
Yes, that is so correct. In the book of Esther, I'm sorry, Kim,
while
you wanted me to go ahead.
Yes. While you're looking up that passage in Esther, she was called to do a particular purpose or
yes.
a particular thing for the Israelites during that time. And
yes.
her family member Mordecai, did you find the passage?
Yes, I found it, yes.
Okay, for the note takers, if you could, Carla, indicate the passage, the book, the passage, and the verse.
Esther chapter 7, I would say verses 1 through 10.
Let's read those. If you will, go right ahead.
It tells the whole story about, now my pronunciation of these names are not altogether good, so.
That's okay.
So the king and Haman came to banquet with Esther the queen. And the king said unto Esther on the second day at the banquet, of wine, what is thy petition, Queen Esther? And it shall be granted thee. And what is thy request? And it shall be performed, even to the half of the kingdom. Then Esther the queen answered and said, if I have found favor in thy sight, O king, and if it please the king, let my life be given me at my petition, and my people at my request. For we were sold, I and my people, to be destroyed and to be slain and to perish. But if we had been sold for bondmen and bondwomen, I had held my tongue, although the enemy could not countervail the king's damage. Then the king Ahasuerus answered and said unto Esther the queen, who is he, and where is he that durst presume in his heart to do so? And Esther said, the adversary and the enemy is this wicked Haman. Then Haman was afraid before the king and the queen. And the king, arising from the banquet of wine in his wrath, went into the palace garden, and Haman stood up to make a request for his life to Esther, the queen. For he saw that there was evil determined against him by the king. Then the king returned out of the palace garden into the palace of the banquet of wine, and Haman was fallen upon the bed whereon Esther was. Then said the king, will he force the queen also before me in the house? As the word went out of the king's mouth, they covered Haman's face. And Harbonnen, one of the chamberlains, said before the king, behold also the gallons 50 cubits high, which Haman had made for Mordecai, who had spoken good for the king, standeth in the house of Haman. Then the king said, hang him thereon. So they hanged Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai, which was the king's wrath. Then the king's wrath was pacified. Queen Esther was trying to save her family and herself and the Jewish people from being killed by this their enemy, Haman, he had devised a plan to kill her uncle Mordecai and her and all the Jews that were in the land. And they got a hold of his plan. And he thought he was building this gallows to hang Mordecai on. But the Lord had a different idea. He set it in motion for the Jews to be saved through Queen Esther. And what he meant for evil, God turned it into good.
Amen.
Amen.
And you're right. Let's back up a few chapters to Esther chapter 4.
Okay.
Yes, go to chapter 4, and we're going to read verses 1. Yes.
Okay. When Mordecai perceived all that. Okay. Esther chapter 4, verse 1. When Mordecai perceived all that was done, Mordecai rent his clothes and put on sackcloth with ashes and went out into the midst of the city and cried with a loud and a bitter cry. And the Lord heard that cry. He heard it. And that's what one of the main topics of our discussion tonight is the Lord hearing our cry through prayer.
Amen.
Amen.
Keep reading.
And came even before the king's gate, for none might enter into the king's gate clothed with sackcloth. And in every province, whither so the king's commanded and his decree came, there was great mourning among the Jews, and fasting and weeping and wailing, and many laid in sackcloth and ashes.
So okay, Esther we're going to stop, right?
Okay.
Stop right there at verse 3. Now, I hope that you saw as Carla read the passage, as she read verses 1 through 3, and she already illustrated or gave you a thumbnail sketch of what came to pass in the chapter 7 concerning Haman and how he was brought to his death. But the reason for this passage is because of verse 3, and verse 3 indicating that they were, in verse 3, in every province to which the edict and order of the king came, there was great mourning among the Jews, and fasting, weeping, and wailing, many lay in sackcloth and ashes. Now, I want you to underscore or underline with fasting and weeping and wailing. And, of course, depending on your translation, in verse 1, it says, when Mordecai perceived all that was done, when Mordecai learned all that had been done, he tore his clothes. He put on sackcloth and ashes and went out to the city, wailing loudly and bitterly. And the beautiful thing here is that they went out praying loudly and crying out with bitterly, and then they went into fasting as they wept and they wailed out to God. This is called the need for prayer again through the body of Christ for a major, major turn of events, and that's to save the Jews. And what had to take place was the prayer and fasting. And when we fast, that is a purifying of the body, I believe. I believe that we purify the inside of ourselves when we deny something that the flesh craves. And we set ourselves apart for service, for a great work of God to move through the body of Christ, the church. And just as it said in 2 Chronicles, he said, if my people, he's calling us his people, who are called by his name, Jehovah, Jesus, Christ, will humble themselves and pray
and seek his face and turn from their wicked ways. When we humble ourselves, we pray and we fast. We set ourselves apart and we seek his face through intimacy with him, through crying out to him. And it doesn't have to be a literal cry with tears, but that's okay too. Because Jesus did that in the Garden of Gethsemane. Am I correct, Carla?
Yes, he did. He cried.
And he cried out to God,
yes,
with intimacy and with emotion. And keep in mind,
yes,
saints, that God knows your heart. So when,
yes,
we come to him with half-hearted prayer, with unpurified souls, and when I say purified, that means washed, that we separate ourselves from what we want to do for what we need to do, just as we read in the passage of Luke chapter 10. We focused on verse 2.
I also wanted to make a point about when we're fasting. It's a very important thing that we need to do as believers of Christ, because when we fast, we open ourselves and to allow ourselves to hear from God when we're fasting. And as you said, it purifies us, it cleanses us up, it clears our minds, it cleanses our bodies, it cleanses our souls, it cleanses our spirit, and the Lord is able to talk to you in a way sometimes even more so through a fast than he would on just regular prayer, but he still hears all of our prayers. But fasting is a very important thing for us to become a part of doing, because it opens ourselves up to the Lord that he will, you know, he hears our prayers in a greater way just as well.
Amen.
He hears all our prayers. He hears all our cries. But when you fast, you just, like you say, you give up something that, you know, that you don't usually, or you're praying for something really that's very, very important to you. And when you fast and open yourself up to God that way, he knows that your heart is sincere. He knows that you're true. He knows that you're serious about this prayer and how deeply and concerned that you are about this prayer being answered. So, and when you fast, you open yourself up to hear from the Lord even more for yourself than you would on a regular basis.
Amen. So let's
prayer.
Look at, with that, and thank you for bringing us, moving this lesson into our next point with that beautiful comment, because take note of what Sister Cardle is expressing, illustrating, and explaining, because it's such a need, and we need to be open with God with through our prayer life. And let's look at the second point, being the seed through prayer. So let's look at Hannah. And we're going to look at Hannah in the in 1 Samuel. Let's turn to 1 Samuel chapter 1.
Okay.
In scripture, if you will.
Okay.
1 Samuel 1.
Okay.
And if you would read that, Carla, and we're looking at the hand of God through Hannah's request, prayer
okay.
request.
I'm just read from the New King James Version. Is that okay?
Yes.
There was a man named Elkanah from the Zuk family who lived in Ramah in the hill country of Ephraim. Elkanah was the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, and the son of Tohu, the son of Uriah from the tribe of Ephraim. Elkanah had two wives. One wife was named Hannah, and the other wife was named Peninnah. I'm not sure. Peninnah had children, but Hannah did not. Every year, Elkanah left his town of Ramah and went up to Shiloh. He worshipped the Lord, all-powerful, at Shiloh, and offered sacrifices to the Lord there. Shiloh was where Eli's son Ophini and Epha served as priests of the Lord. Whenever Elkanah offered his sacrifice, he always gave one share of the food to his wife, Peninnah, and a share of the food to each of Peninnah's children. Elkanah also gave an equal share of the food to Hannah. He did this even though the Lord had not let Hannah have any children. Elkanah did this because Hannah was the wife he really loved. Peninnah upset Hannah. Peninnah always upset Hannah and made her feel bad because Hannah was not able to have children. This happened every year when their family went to the Lord's house at Shiloh. Peninnah would upset Hannah so much that she would begin to cry and would not eat anything. One year this happened. Her husband, Elkanah, said to her, "Hannah, why are you crying? Why won't you eat? Why are you so sad? You have me. I am your husband. Isn't that better than having 10 sons?" After eating and drinking, Hannah quietly got up and went to pray to the Lord. Eli the priest was sitting on a chair near the door of the Lord's holy building. Hannah was so sad that she cried the whole time she was praying to the Lord. She made a special promise to God and said, "Lord Almighty, all powerful, you can see how sad I am. Remember me. Don't forget me. If you will give me a son, I will give him to you. He will be yours his whole life. And as a Nazarite, he will not drink wine nor strong drink, and no one will ever cut his hair." Hannah prayed to the Lord a long time. Eli was watching her mouth while she was praying. Hannah was praying in her heart. Her lips were moving, but since she did not say the words out loud, Eli thought she was drunk. He said to her, "You have had too much to drink. It is time to put away the wine." Hannah answered, "Sir, I have not drunk any wine or beer. I am deeply troubled. I was telling the Lord about all my problems. Don't think that I am a bad woman. I've been praying so long because I have so many troubles and am very sad." Eli answered, "Go in peace. May the God of Israel give you what you ask for." Hannah said, "May you be happy with me." Then she left and ate something. She was not sad anymore. Early the next morning, Elkanah's family got up. They worshiped the Lord and then went back to her mom. Okay. You want me to continue? Okay. Yes, Elkanah had several relationships with his wife, Hannah, and the Lord remembered Hannah. By that time, the following year, Hannah had become pregnant and had a son. She named him Samuel. She said, "His name is Samuel because I asked the Lord for him." That year, Elkanah went to Shiloh to offer sacrifices to keep the promises that he made to God. He took his family with him, but Hannah did not go. She told Elkanah, "When the boy is old enough to eat solid food, I will take him to Shiloh. Then I will give him to the Lord. He will become a Nazarite. He will stay there at Shiloh." Hannah's husband, Elkanah, said to her, "Do what you think is best. You may stay home until the boy is old enough to eat solid food. May the Lord do what you have said." So Hannah stayed at home to nurse her son until he was old enough to eat solid food. When the boy was old enough to eat solid food, Hannah took him to the Lord's house at Shiloh. She also took a bull that was 3 years old, 20 pounds of flour, and a bottle of wine. They went before the Lord. Elkanah killed the bull as a sacrifice to the Lord, as he usually did. Then Hannah gave the boy to Eli. She said to him, "Pardon me, sir, I am the same woman who stood near you praying to the Lord. I promise that I am telling the truth. I prayed for this child, and the Lord answered my prayer. He gave me this child, and now I give this child to the Lord. He will serve the Lord all his life." Then Hannah left the boy there and worship the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. That beautiful story.
That is a beautiful passage of the seed through prayer. And just in her life, it is a wonderful testimony of praying without ceasing. Just as Carla shared with us concerning her aunt. And the need for prayer is in this passage as well. She saw the need for prayer, and then the seed through prayer came forth. And now we see the son, the boy being born, and she carried out her part of the bargain, that if you give me a boy child, a son, I will give him back to you. And she held up to her side of the deal with God, and she made sure to that. And I tell you, if we could read just a, and then in chapter 2, and you can read that in your own private study time, but chapter 2 in this particular passage is worth reading. Hannah,
yes, it is,
listening to her prayer. Then she prayed and said, and I just want to read a few little snippets of this particular prayer in the NIV translation, and I'm just going to read the first few verses. And it says, then Hannah prayed and said this, my heart rejoices to the Lord. In the Lord my horn is lifted high. My mouth boasts over my enemies, for I delight in your deliverance. There is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one besides you. There is no rock like our God.
Hallelujah.
Do not keep talking so proudly or let your mouth speak such arrogance. For the Lord is a God who knows, and by him deeds are weighed. And I just wanted to just read those few passages, and it's noteworthy for you to continue to read the remainder of those verses through verse 11. And I tell you, this is the glorifying through her prayer and her rejoicing. She said, my heart rejoices in the Lord. And Carla, you made mention of that in the beginning of our lesson on how the joy of the Lord is our strength, regardless of our circumstance, but when we drop to our knees and pray. We reap the benefit. We reap a harvest from the seed that falls down through our prayer. And you made mention, Carla, that prayer changes things. Carla, if you would, read what does prayer mean to you? From someone that you asked that question to?
I asked two people today what did prayer mean to them. The first one told me that prayer meant to them it is the way, the truth, and the life. And I believe that is so true. The second person told me that prayer is a conversation. And I believe that is just as true as well. With the intimacy that you have with God, you can talk to God just as any way that, you know, that gives him the glory, praise, and honor, but just as your friend. He's your father. He's your husband. He's your sister. He's your brother. He's your child. You can come to God just as plain and simple as we are talking here today. God knows our heart. And as long as your heart is pure and he knows that that prayer is sincere from your heart, he hears that prayer. He hears your cry. So you can have just a regular conversation with the Lord. That's one way of praying. And you can go in fervent prayer, or you can go to God in fasting and prayer. But the way, the truth, and the life is another way that, and that is so true, that person told me that the prayer to them meant the way, the truth, and the life. And I believe that as well.
Amen. 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 And I wanted to share two individuals as well, and I asked them the same question, what does prayer mean to you? And this individual indicated the same as what Carla had made mention. Now, this is what they said, acceptance, deliverance, empowerment.
Hallelujah.
They also indicate it gives me the ability to speak without ever being judged. And then they went on to say that intimacy, speaking to someone that truly has your best interest at heart and mind.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. That really speaks volume, because when we go to God, we go to God with a contrite heart. We go to God in prayer and in fasting and with intimacy, and we go to him with a whole heart. And this other individual that I asked the same question, I asked, what does prayer mean to you? And they indicated, again, being intimate with my Father. She made it personal, one-on-one. It's praying and giving thanks. It's where I go to make my request in times of trouble in her heart. And that was just so well said as well. These are intimate feelings with a Savior who died on that cross for the sin of the world. He had to do that. He was the sacrificial lamb. Carla, I think this is a beautiful opportunity for us to pray for those who may not know Jesus in the pardoning of their sins. So if you could pray a prayer of salvation for those who may be listening, for those who may tune into the broadcast on demand, we do not want to assume that everybody who listens to this broadcast on the World Wide Web is a church or a Bible-believing individual. So if you could pray a prayer of salvation, sister, and we will lift up and touch and agree.
Father God, we give you glory, all the praise, and all the honor. And to those who are out there listening at the sound of my voice, you can come to the Lord and you can tell the Lord, Father God, I confess you as my God. I confess you as my and your Son, Jesus Christ, as my Lord and my Savior. I confess that I have sinned and I have fallen short. Father God, today I accept you as my God, and I repent of my sins. I ask for your forgiveness of my sins, and I repent of my sins. I come to you with an humble and sincere heart. I dedicate my life, my mind, my heart, my soul, and my spirit to you, God. I will you to be over my life. I accept you to take charge of me right now and lead me down the path that you have for me today and the rest of my life, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, sister, for doing that. I just want to make sure that we are faithful in doing with what we are called to do in this ministry, Mission from the Heart Radio. This ministry, we expose the Word of God, we expound on the Word of God, and we extend the gospel of Jesus Christ to those who may not know him. This is the mission of Mission from the Heart Radio. We expose, we expound, and we extend the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this is what we are called to do in the harvest because it's so plentiful. And I thank God for my co-host, Carla, as she had taken the time out of obedience to the Holy Spirit to co-labor with me in the vineyard today, in the harvesting of others to come into the ark of salvation and to open the pages of the Bible to where it would whisper in your ear and pierce your heart to draw you into Jesus Christ. For he is the way and he is the life. He is the only way. He is the only truth and he is life eternal. John 3:16 says it this way, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish and have eternal life. That is the harvest of our salvation. And when we work on this side of glory, it is a joy that is unspeakable. Do you agree, Carla?
Yes, I do. Sister, I wanted to make one more small point. Well, not small. Another
yes.
point about prayer. We can also go to the Lord and just praise in him. He loves our praise. We don't always have to go to God with a request. Just praise him. He loves that type of prayer as well. It makes him just rejoice and be happy when he hears us praising him. His praises go up. Just praise the Lord and thank him just for who he is. That's another form of prayer that we can go to our Father that he loves for us to do.
Amen. And that brings Amen. Me to this beautiful hymn that most of us may know or may have sung at one point in time or another, but I want to read the lyrics of this particular hymn, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. And listen to the lyrics, and I'm not going to sing it, but I will read the words and allow them to just resonate in your heart. Now, if you are someone who does have a beautiful voice, who's gifted, then you go right ahead and sing. But this is what it says. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and grief to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. We are weak, heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care. Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou will find a solace there. Amen. And I love those particular lyrics in that old hymn, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. And we are to worship and praise him, glorify him, and take it to the Lord in prayer. So I want to say thank you to my co-host, who I totally enjoyed her walking through the scriptures with me in our lesson, Lord, Hear Our Cry. In a chaotic world that we live in, with so much going on the left of us, on the right of us, in front of us, and in back of us, we can still experience God in the joy of the Lord. And
it was just a privilege for me to serve the Lord with my sister in Christ, as you as well, Sister Smith. I thank you for the opportunity, and may God add a blessing to your life each and every day.
Amen.
Thank you for the blessing.
Amen. And I just thank everyone for their faithfulness to this broadcast, but always remember
yes, I thank them
that
too.
The flowers fadeth. And the grass withers, the flowers fadeth away, but the word of God remaineth forever and ever and ever. So God bless you and thank you. And always remember to stop, drop, and pray. Lord, hear our cry. God bless.